doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
here. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Indeed it is. This is Tech Talk, and your host, Michael Tech Talk Kassler. I'm here. I am. I have to look around and make sure exactly where I'm at, but this is it. This is the place. This is where you want to be, too, if you want to hear some great technology news, views, interviews, and reviews, all sorts of good stuff happening. Our intermittent co-host, Dave Sparky Saganaki, is playing heavily on that intermittence this week and is, again, not with us, but that's okay. I've got it on good word that we'll have our good friend Jay Garman joining us here in just a little while, and he's going to do I have to admit, I'm going to confess to him right up front, Jay, I hope you're listening, because I don't have the slightest clue what our geek trivia question was that we're trying to answer this week. It has been so long since we had him on here. Oh my gosh, what did the cat drag in soaking wet? I don't believe it.
Hi, everybody.
Look who's here.
How's it going?
It's going quite well. It's going outstanding. As
that's
a
good.
Even better now that you're here. Seeing
good,
your smiling, if a bit soggy face.
So there's a problem with the trivia question. That's Michael Tech Talk Kassler and Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome belatedly to Tech Talk.
The only problem with the trivia question is I don't have any idea what the question was. Normally, I don't know the answer. I'm okay with that. I've learned to live with the fact that I never know the answer to Jay's questions.
Yeah.
But usually I can at least remember.
Well, not question. Everybody can be Customer Jones.
This is true. Yeah, you know, there's the trivia question for Customer Jones today.
Oh, yeah. What was the trivia question?
Can you email me the trivia question? Answer not required. Simply the question itself would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're here.
I am.
This is
sorry
awesome.
I'm late.
No, not a problem.
Got a little wet.
Not a problem. Yes, indeed. In fact, I should probably alert people, let you know if you are in the Round Lake area of Wisconsin, of Illinois.
It's just about Wisconsin.
Yeah. As close to Wisconsin as you can get without actually being there. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect right now until 10:30 a.m.
10:30 this morning, yeah.
So about another 25 minutes.
And it is raining quite hard.
It is pouring yeah. down there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's not fit for man nor beast at the moment. But Dave is okay to go in it.
I am.
We were
get him a towel, yeah.
Yeah, our sports corner rusty.
And I forgot my key, you know, I have my car keys and my radio station keys separate. And I got halfway here and I realized I had to go back to the car and bend over and get in the car, and water was pouring on my back. So
bad news.
Yeah, so I'm a little wet.
Yeah. Well, you'll dry off quick, though.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. So. Sorry I'm late. I had to lead Yoko to the tollway. She's on the road back to True North.
Fantastic. So she's heading back up.
And, yeah, she is.
That's all right.
So were you on last week? I thought you were. Really?
Was I on last week? I was off last week. No. I take it back. I was on last week. Oh, yes. Last week is a show. You missed a good show, actually. We had on the top guy, not second in command,
yeah.
not one of the marketing dudes. We had on the top guy for Boost Mobile.
No kidding.
He came on air. Wonderful gentleman named Andre Smith. Talked to us a lot about the change in the cellular landscape and how things are changing with
mobile. I would have liked to hear that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Sorry I missed the opportunity to grill him.
No, it would have been good to have a few more kind of hard-boiled questions. I pinned him on a couple of things. But,
well, didn't they give you a phone for review? So you were probably real nice to him. Like, way too nice to him. Yeah.
I called
him sir a lot, you know.
It's an honor to have you. No, I, you know, the one thing, and I will say this again, and the review is up, by the way, too. I did make a review of the phone and of the service that's up there on techtalk.wrlr.fm. You can find it, or through our RSS feed and podcast and so on. It's a good, solid service for sure. The phone I found to be somewhat entry level, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, sure.
You know, and I hit him on that, and he hit it full bore. I have to give him points. He said, absolutely. That's exactly the market we're going to. Yeah. It's for the entry level smartphone user. Yeah. The power users are not going to be as satisfied or excited about it.
Well, not at this point. I mean, that's the stage we're at now. I mean, it's great, for, you know, no contract for a smartphone.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you
know, I literally would just say it's unbeatable. I've looked. I have not seen a better, situation out there for service if you're looking for a no contract.
Yeah. Well, we have to be somewhat careful. Speaking about being nice to people that have been nice to you, I just a quick shout out to McMahon Auto Body on Rollins Road. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a week of chasing after cars and stuff, and they were very helpful.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And you know, I never ever do that. I never.
This is true.
Yeah, I never ever mention people.
Where's our little bell? Our bell is gone.
I receive nothing in compensation, but I swear to God, James was just, you know, I mean, it was like, it made you happy to be a human. You know, that doesn't happen a lot anymore when you get service, you know, when you get something done, you know, it's like, you come away a lot of times feeling a little dirty, you know, like you didn't quite get what you wanted, and this was good.
Yeah, so. and you wind up like you ask all your buddies, like, was that really a good deal? How much is it supposed to cost for an alternator? That's not right. Yeah. That's not right.
Should my lights be flashing? Yeah, I know. So. Yeah, so
well, I was gonna just to like pull this in though for just a second is interestingly, there's a great article right now on the New York Times calling out all of these rave reviewers, you know.
The kiss ups.
The kiss ups, exactly. In fact, there's a lot of people apparently now. There's a cool site of the week that we've mentioned here, Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R,
okay.
And it basically is people that'll offer services for $5. Well, one of the most common services being offered is positive reviews, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and so on. Apparently, then there's a number of these very, very prolific.
Or shills, as the case may be. Shills, yeah.
Yeah. There's a number of these shills who, that's basically what they do. You know, I think they're, you know, they work at home or they're homeowners or whatever.
Yeah.
Housewives, house husbands and whatever. Yeah. Who spend a fair amount of time, posting very positive reviews and in turn receive, gifts and, books and et cetera and so on. And there's some new technology out that is working. They've got some algorithms built now that may allow them to ferret these out and kind of figure out which ones are fake reviews and which
ferrets? I don't understand. Ferrets are giving positive reviews? Are giving kiss-up
the
reviews?
Ferrets are taking
over. Or are
we
reviewing ferrets?
No, yeah. We're reviewing
them. So you're ferreting out phony
reviews.
Phony positives.
Exactly.
Yeah,
in order not necessarily to always remove them, but in order to at least if there's a high possibility or probability that these reviews are fake, to reduce the weight that they're given in the overall average of the star rating.
Yeah.
You know, they were commenting that some of the websites like TripAdvisor, for example, the average review on TripAdvisor is something like 3.8 stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of 5, though.
Out of 5, yeah.
Well, I have used TripAdvisor, and you're right, and you have to wonder also. You know, one hotel in an area will get all kinds of reviews, and another one won't.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of odd. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I don't get it either. Speaking of shills, though, are you done with that? The New York Times article?
I am. Please. Are you
sure?
It was so appropriate.
I was at Sam's Club the other day and I ran into an HPE. You couldn't really call him a shill. You couldn't really, because he was wearing the HP shirt. He fully admitted he was from HP.
Yeah.
But have you heard about this calamity over there with the WebOS and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was talking. The news of the week started with Best Buy, I guess, purchased 270,000 of their tablets, of which only 25,000 had sold.
Yes.
And that's been more than a month, right?
Yes.
So, So I was like, wow, maybe pick up a bargain or whatever. And talk about reviews. I guess this is all about reviews. They didn't get great reviews. They said that nobody likes the WebOS. They don't like the software. They don't like the hardware.
Yep.
But, you know, when I was talking to this guy, like I said, I just ran into him. He was very nervous looking, very twitchy kind of antsy guy. Yeah. And this was before the other shoe dropped about them, kind of stepping away from WebOS after
yes.
paying $1.2 billion for Palm.
Yeah.
But he's telling, you know, he had one of the tablets and he was showing it to me and it looked pretty snappy. But then again,
yeah.
you know, it's a HP guy, but he says it's 1.2 dual core ARM processor and a gig of RAM.
That sounds right. I don't know specifically.
But that you wouldn't think that would be so disparaged as hardware. That sounds pretty good to me. I think it was the pricing.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, is that they had originally come out essentially equivalent to the pricing that the iPad
exactly.
was out at. And I think that was too high for
the iPad
to market.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they recently dropped it. They bumped it down about $100 and made it, you know, price competitive. And this is going 3 weeks back, something like this. And they said, hey, this is how we're going to compete. You know, we're going to do this. Now they've just, because of the Best Buy fiasco and all this, they've said, we're not going to do them anymore. We're done with it. And,
right.
and in fact, now if you wait about a week here, I think maybe a little bit less, and I'd start calling, suppliers like Best Buy and so on to put one aside for you now, they're going to drop the price to, ridiculous low levels.
Well, here's what the HP rep told me. And, you know, when we're dancing on the line here, we're not supposed to talk about price or whatever.
Yeah.
But he goes, he was kind of like, this was like the big insider tip. He kind of put his hand over his mouth. He's talked out the side of his mouth. He said, I think next week they're going to go down another
$50. Yeah, they're going to go down a lot more than that.
You know, and I was trying to be respectful and nice. Yeah. Other, you know, it's something different than I usually am on the show.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, I wanted to say, you think $50 they're going to go down?
Yeah. You know what might be a smart thing to do is not wait for the price to drop, but actually.
Oh, and then take it back or whatever.
Yeah, I think a lot of places offer like a 30-day price match, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to name any names, but I think a number of the major computer and
BB might do that. But I think BB's only got like a 14-day policy now or something. They truncated it.
Yeah, something
There's
like
some
that.
So you've got to
be a little careful, but I know in Canada, they've already dropped the price. And in... so, you know, have Yoko bring back a box or two of them. The other thing, too, is
Is it worth it at any price? I mean, if they're dropping WebOS and support for it, oops, you know.
And here's where it gets a little tricky. Is I think for the right for the right person, I think it is good. I think there's two types of people this is going to be perfect for. There's going to be the entry level tablet person who, you know, really they're what are they going to do? They're going to surf the web, answer some emails, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
The WebOS as it stands today is perfectly capable and competent of doing all those things. You might not be able to do some of the higher end stuff as HTML, you know, 5 comes out or some of the Flash. I'm not sure what the capabilities are. There's going to be some that are missing, I'm sure. However, there's the other end of the market spectrum, though, are those people who are very comfortable rooting their phones and who can take this. And I've heard reviews and commentary that there's people that already have Honeycomb running on this. Honeycomb, which is a version of
Android. Yeah, that's 3.0 Android.
Yeah, so then you wipe it, you throw Android on there, and, you know, voila, you're running a very, very cheap
There were complaints about the hardware in the reviews, but like I said, there's a whole lot of Android tablets that have lower specs.
Oh and are going to be 4 to 5 times more expensive soon. So.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
But what a house of cards, though. It's like, there's a lot of these things. You know, it started off like 2 months ago, this is going to be a competitor to the iPad, and now it's like, oh, WebOS is gone. What else did they get for their $1.2 billion from Palm other than the WebOS?
I guess if you look at it, in some ways, they got a lot of, you know, intellectual property. They got a lot of, I think they got some very smart people who can hopefully help them move along. It's interesting, though, you know, Mike Elgin with TechCrunch, he wrote an interesting kind of diatribe, I guess would be the best way to describe it, if not even a rant about the state of the mobile economy right now and how it's basically self-imploding in a lot of areas. And the only company that's been able to make money at it, of course, is Apple. And they're still the only company that's really been successful.
That's an understatement.
With this mobile marketing.
Yeah, that's really an understatement in terms of making money. They went from nowhere to the top of the heap pretty quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just checking. I just got a message. Nope, doesn't look like. I thought maybe it'd be Customer Jones.
You were hoping saving our butt.
Yeah. So I don't have to embarrass.
She's probably in the storm cellar. She's probably in the storm cellar. You know, with the thunderstorm warning.
Exactly.
Hey, it's the Air and Water Show this weekend as well.
It is. No. If you were downtown at all, you could hear them booming and crashing as they were practicing for.
Last I was just listening on the radio, and the rain hadn't reached there yet. So hopefully it stays up this way.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Better us than them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
At this point, just for today.
Yeah, I don't think there's much going on out here that's going to be canceled except for some tentative golf plans that I had.
Well, that's going to have to let that go.
Yeah. I think that's probably not going to happen. Now, speaking of Apple too, and the things that they've been doing to solidify their market share here and abroad, you might have heard about their little battle, the little tiff, the illegal tiff that they've got going on in the Netherlands with the Samsung. The Samsung, what is it? The Samsung Galaxy Tab.
I have not heard this. I haven't.
Yeah.
What are they arguing about with Samsung about it?
Well, the Galaxy Tab has been one of the most popular competitors to...
And that's an Android box, right?
It is an Android box, and it's a very good one, too. Now, the thing is that Apple is convinced a judge in Germany, to ban the sales of the Galaxy Tab under basically saying that the Samsung had slavishly... followed the specs of the Apple iPad, and it was too close for copyright acts and all this, and that it was too close
the hardware
to a copy.
Yeah.
Look and feel more than actual hardware internalized. And they have a little bit stricter laws about copyright in Germany than they do here, and the Netherlands too. So they were able to do this, and they convinced the judge that yes, indeed, Samsung had made too close of a copy and infringing upon their copyright and their right to make money in Germany and so on. Well, it turns out now that a number of the images that were used to convince the judge and convince the court that this was true.
They used pictures? That's odd.
Yeah. Why they didn't just include a couple of them?
Yeah. Judge, if I was a judge, I need up three or four of each and we'll recess for 6 months.
Yes. So
that's or a year.
That's how things work in America.
Yeah.
Or at least Chicago.
Yeah. To fully evaluate this, how many games can you load on here?
Yeah. well, what had happened was the images that they used to convince the judge, though, Apple had, taken a few liberties with, shall we say. They had imported the Samsung Tab images into Photoshop and doctored them to make them look even more.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
Don't want to fool a judge in Germany. No, that's not a good thing. No.
So they were it was fairly subtle changes. But in addition to that, they also too the photo that they were using to match
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the photo they were using to match the Samsung against as well wasn't even the most current version of the Apple iPad. It was the version that had been discontinued off in 2009 because that one had more rounded corners similar to the Samsung. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of follows and comes through here.
Seems kind of odd. I mean, from what I've seen of the Galaxy, Samsung Galaxy Tab, it looks very nice and everything, but Apple's kind of run away with the market. What do you care? How much is Samsung going to creep on them? I don't think not that much.
It's enough that they want it.
But, yeah, I guess. Excuse us. Excuse us for taking a shot.
That's,
you know,
the bottom
heaven
line.
Forbid we should make something square, you know, or rectangular and thin.
Yep.
That runs on a battery.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man. Oh, you know what? I should clarify too. I've been saying compared to the iPad, I actually meant the iPhone. It's the Galaxy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the Galaxy S is a phone in the iPhone.
Okay.
I apologize.
Nevertheless,
but it's the same.
It all still applies.
It does.
Except we were dead wrong.
Yes, thank you.
Except for that. Except for that, everything still applies.
Oh, should we? You know what? We got to bow down to Jay here. And, we gotta,
oh yeah.
I got to eat my crow.
Oh yeah.
And see.
Let him have some fun.
I hope he remembers.
Jay remembers. Jay's the consummate pro.
He's quite organized.
He makes us
good
Bush League.
Good morning.
Jay!
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, pretty good.
Good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of stormy weather here, but other than that, everything's going nicely. We haven't lost the tower yet, so that's a definitely.
As far as we know.
Well, that's true.
We would have no way of knowing.
That's true. It may be for the best if
yeah.
This is just a conversation kept among friends.
How is it different from any other show? Really?
Oh, go ahead. He's starting without reason. Go ahead, give him some reason now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even better. You'll love it.
Michael has a confession to make.
I was going to try and pin this on you, Jay, that it's been so long since you've agreed to come back on the show. But unfortunately, I can't. It's just my feeble memory and lack of an organizational system that has led me to this sorry state where I can't even remember what the geek trivia question we had so many weeks ago was. So when we get, and I was hoping Customer Jones was gonna save me. But
we've been waiting for an email from Customer Jones to tell us what the question was, Jay. So with deep apologies, could you please tell us what the question was?
Well, the question was, what were the controversial call signs for Apollo 10 that were so unacceptable to NASA that Apollo 11 didn't get to name their own spacecraft?
Right. Yeah, they were too informal or too hokey.
Too unorthodox and inauspicious.
Too cute. They were too cute.
I just want to put in a sidebar here that you this is a good indication of exactly how long ago it was that you
I was here.
Yeah. Dave was on the show too.
Sorry. I had a nice August. And July.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Dave exactly what phase of the moon does your appearance line up with? Is it the waxing moon? What is it?
It's based on ancient Incan cave drawings.
I've created a zodiac chart which will alert me sometimes in advance.
I try not to let my fun get in the way of, you know.
Of your radio show, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a second. I thought this is my fun.
Yeah.
Oh man. So let's drop the other shoe and do the geek trivia, and then I want to find out what's going on with you, Jay. But so what were these call signs that were so not obnoxious but so cutesy and fun that that the NASA just said, forget about it, we're not ever doing it again?
Well, the command service module, the capsule, was Charlie Brown, and the lunar lander was Snoopy.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome, personally. I would love to have been there if, you know, the first words were, Roger Houston, Snoopy has landed. That would have been great, in my opinion. But clearly, NASA public relations did not like this idea. And to be fair, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins didn't do themselves any favors. They were warned by NASA Public Relations that, okay, this has all been cute and fun, but you guys are actually going to land on the moon, so you got to pick some good names for your craft, your pilots. You get to pick your call signs. That's fine. And so they picked Snow Cone and Haystack.
Oh!
And, it took all of one press release getting out that at some point it was going to be Roger Houston, the Haystack has landed, for NASA PR to step in and say, you know what? We're taking this from here. The lander will be Eagle and the capsule will be Columbia after the Columbiad from, Jules Verne's From the Earth to the Moon.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you like it. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's kind of a little bit too bad because I just have this image of Charles Schulz being really involved with NASA, you know, this alternate history of mine in my brain right now, and big floppy Snoopy ears hanging off of the top of the shuttle as it roars into space. I think.
Well, you know, Snoopy and Charlie Brown were taken, so I'm trying to think like what other Peanuts characters would have been like, you know, Linus and Lucy.
Yeah.
You know, would it have been, you know, Peppermint Patty and Sally, like, what would the combo have been there, you know?
I don't think
Rerun was around at that point.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what they would have chosen.
Little redhead girl, I guess, would have been good. The little redheaded girl has landed. I like that.
Careful, watch it. Family radio.
Well, as another little part, it's not ever been directly attributed, but Armstrong got a little bit of revenge because when they finally got touchdown, his phrase was "Houston Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed." And at no point in any of the training or simulations or any part of the mission had the phrase "Tranquility Base" ever been used before that point.
Mm.
So, you know, NASA's response is like, if you listen to the recording, it's like, "Tranquility, we copy you. bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot." So, like, if something go wrong, what's Tranquility Base? They're all flipping through manuals. Like, what does that mean? Is that a code for something? Oh my God, has something gone wrong? No, it's just Armstrong deciding at that point in the mission he's gonna name their landing site, and they can't stop him because he's on live radio to the entire universe.
Now, do you happen to know where he came up with Tranquility Base? Was there a reason or background?
They landed in the Sea of Tranquility.
Let me just bang my head against the table even further.
You're just a little too young. That was before your time, really.
Well, I guess it was.
Yeah.
A couple of years there before. I remember my parents having the newspapers still around the house though. When I was in my I guess it was preteen years and things like that. I remember rifling through those.
It was a big deal.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's kind of neat stuff. And sadly we'll never go there again. There was a great XKCD cartoon. It was showing a graph of the number of humans who have stepped on
the surface of the moon.
Firma that is not Terra, basically. Yeah. And it's showing the actuarial chart bringing that number down to zero very quickly, unfortunately, because of course we're just not sending more people out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's not economically viable. We don't have now. But what's funny is apparently the Europeans, the Indians, and the Chinese have all announced plans to send people to Mars. Mm-hmm. And you know, being Americans, we don't like anybody stepping in on our glory. So I bet that just jumpstarts us really soon here into deciding we're going to go do that ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an interesting challenge in a lot of ways. Now, the Chinese, though, have been doing a lot of stuff with, and we've talked about this on air before, with a lot of stuff with the unmanned expeditionary events and things, and actually bringing unmanned capsules back and things. And so I could see that being maybe a first step is somehow managing to get an unmanned piece to Mars or someplace else quite distant and bring it back to Earth. I think would be a pretty neat thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of engineering issues with that, not the least of which is getting enough fuel to Mars to bring anything back from Mars.
Yeah.
So that is the real issue.
Yeah.
Telemetry is easy. Actual samples are hard.
Yeah. Well, what's fun is that, you know, it's not going to be too many years here before many of us will qualify for this Mars trip. I think one of the ideas that I heard floated was that we're just going to send old folk up there because then they're not not going to expect to come back anyways. So, we'll just leave. You know, it's a one-way trip. You know, we'll get people to sign up for that. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. Why would that be morbid or strange in any way?
No.
There's just spacecraft littering the Martian landscape full of dead old people
that we didn't bother
to bring home.
And hey, you know, I mean, come on, think about it. You know, what's going to be less expensive? Sending a bunch of old folks to Mars, never to return, or trying to keep Social Security alive?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
This is true. It may be more cost effective to send them to another planet.
Hey, yeah. You know, if you open a casino, they'll probably pay their own way. You know?
This is true.
The buffet's got to be good, though.
Oh, yeah.
It can't just be any buffet.
And as long as it keeps getting good reviews on Yelp, it'll be all right. Yeah. There's a brand new casino that just opened here in Des Plaines in Illinois, which is pretty close to us. And so that's all the talk of the town. You know, there's a big casino here. So I don't know about that either. But so what do you have on the tap for us for thinking about hopefully for next week as opposed to next millennium?
Yes, I do in fact plan to be on next week. The week after that I'll be at Dragon Con, but next week I'll be here.
That's right. I want to hear a little bit about that before we let you go too. But yeah, go ahead. So what's
well, our question for next week is there is a synonym for the word medieval that was created unintentionally by a malfunctioning profanity filter. So what is the synonym for medieval that exists pretty much only in computer security circles that was created by a malfunctioning profanity filter?
Great question.
That is interesting. Yeah. Wow. I can't think of it. I have no idea. I bet when I hear it, I'll be like, oh yeah, I know what that is. But not something I'm going to be able to pull out of my head. That's for sure. The word, synonym for the
that
word.
I bet that one even stumps Customer Jones.
I don't know. She's pretty good. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how that works. So that's our question for the week, guys. Everybody will be able to see that at techtalk.wrlr.fm. And of course, you can find a lot of geek trivia and more cool geek stuff from Jay at jaygarman.net, such as you're going to Dragon Con. In fact, not only that, but you've got like a free ride to Dragon Con, right?
Totally. And the wife came to me and said, you have to go to Dragon Con.
Wow.
You
know. Well, does she have a sister?
Our second child is due in December. And what she's basically saying is, I'm going to let you go now. In fact, I'm going to insist you go now because I'm not going to let you go for like the next 3 years. So this is sort of her notion of long-term planning. Well, you know, like I can't complain about anything about the new baby for the next 3 years because it's just sort of, remember, I let you go to Dragon Con.
Yeah. You know what? It'll devolve from that. She'll use that a couple of, and then it'll just be Dragon Con.
Totally.
Diapers? Dragon Con. Yeah. No, my wife was smart enough by the second or third one to start throwing those out as well. So man, well, that is awesome. And I second one of the commenters on your blog. It was you that said best wife ever, which is very cool. Now you've never been to Dragon Con before, I take it.
I have not been to Dragon Con. I've been to San Diego Comic Con, which is actually bigger. You know, sir, I'm curious what my experience is going to be because everyone sort of tells me it's the biggest thing you've ever been to. And I look it up. It's like, okay, it's got 40,000 people. That's pretty big. But just the year I went to Comic-Con, which is almost a decade ago, they had 70,000 people. And now Comic-Con is like 150,000 people. So I can't fathom something twice the size of the Comic-Con I went to because it alone was mind-boggling. But I also not sure how I'm going to react to everyone thinking Dragon Con is gigantic when it's half the size of the Comic Con.
Yeah. You know, and now I have not been to too many events of that size. I was at Oracle Open World, and that was in San Francisco. And just the management of that number of people is pretty ridiculous and insane. And I've got to believe that Open World world, which was focused on Oracle developers and programmers and things like this, probably is a fairly similar grouping of people as you're going to find at Dragon Con. But Dragon Con is going to be all about the fun, and people are going to get a little wackier out there.
Yes, it is all about the fun, which is different than Open World, but it's also attracting a group which is not known for navigating social situations very well. So it's sort of this interesting cocktail of humanity that you walk into. I mean, Comic-Con was like that too, and I went to Comic-Con in a very strange year. I went in 2002, which was the first Comic-Con right after 9/11, which is part of how we got to go. It was ungodly cheap to fly. Like, we stayed in a hotel that would normally have been like $400 a night for like $70 a night, because they were just desperate for anyone to travel, which was part of why I also haven't been back, because I'm incredibly cheap. So it was odd, but even that year, it was just unbelievably gigantic, and you're in these small confined spaces between giant display booths with very large people that don't bathe on a regular basis and don't clean the cheese dip off their Superman t-shirt. And then right next to them is a professional model. And then right next to them is a movie star. And then right next to them is a professional author. And then right next to them is someone in costume whose gender and species is not determined. So it's just sort of this interesting mix of people that you can't really get anywhere else. And so I'm looking forward to diving into that sociology experiment one more time.
Yes.
Wasn't it Kierkegaard that said life is a minestrone? Yeah. Never mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you talking about Kierkegaard to this show? Do you know what kind of show we're doing here, Nate? You're throwing down Kierkegaard references?
Well, it just suited your description of Comic-Con. Sorry. It also made me hungry, the cheese dip on the guy's shirt. I didn't get a good breakfast.
There you go. Yeah, that's the thing that always cracks me up at these things, too, is, you know, you go there and you expect to see the guys with the cheese dip and all that. And, you know, you've got the professional models that are on the side and they're selling stuff and they're hawking their wares and things.
Is that what you call it these days?
We've had a lot of discussion of shills and ware hawking and things. But then, you know, there'll be a group of people that are dressed up, you know, and they've got the anonymous stormtrooper, or they've got the comic star of the moment is. But then there's always like one out of every 40 people is like this really hot chick and dressed up in as a comic book.
40?
Wow. Well, it's some ratio that probably the ratio seems much larger in my mind.
You're not far wrong, or at least not the year I was at Comic-Con, because that was the year between Fellowship of the Ring and Two Towers, mm-hmm. and it's like every single hot elf female cosplayer in the world was there that year. It was literally like every 12th person was an attractive blonde female in some sort of elf gear with pointed ears and a longbow. It's unreal. We're just sort of... We've been to conventions before, and this is not normal. This is not right.
Yes.
Did the Tolkien films just let all of these attractive women finally be okay dressing up in costume? Open the genie's bottle? Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
And if you look at photographs of, like, major conventions since basically Lord of the Rings, there's been much more participation of attractive female costumers. It's very strange.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, I remember going to some, I didn't really go to any sci-fi convention, but I went to a couple Comic Cons and I did an AD&D convention, you know, what are you going to expect? But there was no women in general, period, let alone actually attractive women at these things. And in fact, I think it would have made everyone somewhat uncomfortable if there had been. But things have changed. The world has changed. And I think in a better way.
It certainly makes it more pleasant to look at. Yeah.
Do you think? Do you think you're talking about the fat guy with the cheese dip on his shirt and elf girls?
Yes.
I think elf girls are pretty cool.
Yeah, well, but here's the fat guy with the cheese dip is like the landmine in the Red Rover playground now, because like you're scanning the dealer's room floor, looking at all the attractive people, the interesting things you could buy, and then if you're not careful, you're just staring down the fat guy with the cheese dip. He didn't mean to. It's like Oh, dude, fat guy with cheese dip. That was not cool. You know, all right, go back, find the booth babe again.
Yeah, exactly. Man, well, I cannot wait to live vicariously through you and hear about it. Now, have you started signing up for any of the events and sessions and things that are going on?
You're not able to sign up for that yet because they have not released any of the schedule. DragonCon is notorious for waiting until the last minute to do all of that, mostly because it's just such a high volume. You know, they're also notorious for once you get there changing where everything is because something went wrong. An air conditioner went out or a fat guy with cheese dip has collapsed in front of the door somewhere, and so they have to move things.
Yeah.
So I have not been able to lock down my schedule yet. I just know at some point – I have to lay eyes on Felicia Day. Like, that's just on, it's on the list. It's gotta happen.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. She'd be up there on top of my list. I was very pleased that she was able to make it there for the last, season of Eureka here too. As dismayed as I was to hear that Eureka has been canceled, at least there's some things going on with it that are pretty cool.
Agreed. And you know, at some point, Sci-Fi Channel is just going to be Mansquito and wrestling. That's going to be the whole channel at some point. That's happening.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love that dichotomy. You know, Eureka or Warehouse 13, I think it is, actually will end. And every time on my DVR, I catch the first 3 minutes of pro wrestling now. And it's... Like, what? Warehouse 13 and then is that really the same demographic? I can't quite get my head wrapped around that. How this turns out to, where does, I mean, have you heard anything? How is that switchover? Why is that occurring?
Well, if you do like a Venn diagram of like the wrestling audience and the sci-fi audience, there's a significant overlap, especially from like the comic book kind of power fantasy. Like, if I go into my local comic book shop, which I love, like, half the time wrestling is on the TV, which you sort of get the overlap there. It's like guys in spandex beating each other up. That's either Superman or it's Triple H. You know, there's not – when you get down to the essence of the power fantasy, there's not a ton of difference there. But, you know, like that overlap I think is very cheap to meet. You know, there's that – the audience – there's not a lot of money spent in pleasing the overlap of the wrestling audience and the comic book sci-fi audience. That's very easy to make that show. Yeah. Pleasing the half of the sci-fi audience, like say Rendezvous with Rama, our stuff's expensive to produce. So if you're making the fiduciary choice of which part of the audience to please, wrestling tends to win.
Yeah, I guess that is a good point. I just don't know how that juncture of Venn diagram happens to meet at Warehouse 13. That doesn't seem to be that connectivity. Jay, I'm sorry, I got to do this to you. I got to pull us to a close here today.
Speaking of economy of programming,
exactly. I actually have some spots to throw on and people to thank for supporting WRLR, which is always a good thing. But Jay, again, I'll mention it again to people that are listening right now. JayGarman.net. Go take a look at it. Check it out. You can find out all the other amazing and cool stuff that Jay is up to and involved with right now, and also two connections to Dragon Con are on there for those so interested, and we'll be thinking about synonyms for the word medieval for this coming week.
Definitely, I'm curious.
You got it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. Have a good weekend, fellas.
You too. Thanks a lot, Jay. Always appreciate you.
Thank you, Mr. Garman.
Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Dave.
Bye. Oh, Jay Garman.
The
Man,
best.
This is the best show ever. You know, I got my good buddy Dave back here.
Oh,
I
yeah.
got Jay on the phone.
Jay.
Jay
is so cool. He's just so funny.
Yeah, he is.
He is so geeked. I mean, he's just out in the geek weeds.
I gotta convince my family to drive back down to Louisville again and really pester Jay this time. I went down, we met him one time for literally about 45 minutes, half an hour. Mm. It wasn't enough. Got to do it again. At any rate, though, I'm gonna kick off here with some spots and so on. When we come back, we're gonna have cool sights of the week. We're gonna have a podcast only song of the week, and that's about it. We'll see you in just a minute.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to WRLR 98.3, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Hey, listen, we want all of you to join us here on August 27th at the Round Lake Beach Cultural and Civic Center. Do you know what it is?
That's right, Steve, we do. We have the
second annual.
There we go, thank you. The second annual Geo Awards and Benefit, August 27th.
At 6 p.m.
Come join us.
That's right. Hey, listen, tickets are on sale now. Can email us at studio@wrlr.fm. Tickets right now are only $25.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah.
Geez, Steve, is there any musical guys there?
Well, yeah, Elder Chaos.
Cool.
And also a Beatles tribute band called Stockwood. They're awesome. And also performing that night is going to be Jeff Diamond Vesalius, who will round out the show with a Neil Diamond tribute. So, hey, there's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be awards, music,
entertainment,
food. Email us at studio@wrlr.fm. Tickets right now are only $25.
Do you enjoy the great outdoors? Then Bass Pro Shops in Gurnee Mills is your one stop for all your fishing, hunting, boating, and camping needs. But Bass Pro Shops is also your men's and women's apparel center with brand names like Columbia, Carhartt, Under Armour, North Face, Natural Reflections, and Redhead. Bass Pro is also your four-season outdoor store with all the gear you need to enjoy the great outdoors year-round. Bass Pro Shops, where your next outdoor adventure begins indoors.
Park Automotive Repair, the oldest auto repair facility in Lake Villa, believes that if you treat customers fairly, they'll keep coming back. Park Automotive Repair provides a complete range of auto maintenance and repair services. Brakes, mufflers, engine rebuilding, transmission and differential repair. Local shuttle service provided. Located at the corner of Grand and Fairfield in Lake Villa, across from Caboose Park. Their number is 847-356-2925.
The Round Lake Area Public Library is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The library provides current information, formal education support, independent learning opportunities, and life enrichment materials to a highly diverse public by a trained team of individuals who will nurture a love for reading and learning. The Round Lake Area Public Library is located at 906 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-546-7060. The website is rlalibrary.org. Se habla español.
All right, we're back.
We are?
I think so, yeah. I'm sorry.
I was hoping we were.
It ended rather quickly there. Some good stuff, though.
Well, speaking of ending quickly.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time.
We don't have a lot of time.
No, we don't.
How does an hour go so quickly? I don't know.
You know, it is a good – well, when you got guys like Jay and yourself here, yeah. It does happen to go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But we do have some other things to hit up on. And
how can you not love that music? Because we know what it means.
Cool sights.
It's the cool sight of the week.
Of the week.
Cool. Sit back, relax.
Cool sights, plural. We got good stuff here. I got a number of them. I got a bunch of them. You know, one thing, we're going back to school here. Kids are getting started again. And well, you know, some are. My kids are. But even if you're not, if you ever do any writing, this is so cool. I am just astounded and
can't wait to hear it.
This is neat. I don't know how you pronounce this word. Kibin? Kibin.com. It's K-I-B-I-N. I believe that's correct. This is community editing. Community paper editing.
Oh, God.
So
can't be fragile here. You got to have some thick skin.
But it actually is pretty good, and people are fairly respectful and all that, and they have editors. You can volunteer to be an editor if you have. Well, let me explain what it is first. So say you're a student, say you're a writer of some sort or other, and what you want to do is you want to get a second set of eyes on that document.
Yeah.
You upload it here.
And who doesn't want that?
Upload it to Kibin.
Instead of your idiot friends that you drink beer with. You know.
Who probably come from the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this way though, you upload it to Kibin. And Kibin now will have a number of individuals who volunteer. They just will say, hey, you know what, I'll take a look at your document. And they'll make a comment here or a comment there. It may be one person, it may be two, it may be a dozen people that take a look through your document and say what they like or don't like.
So it's sort of like a forum. Forum or a forum
They send the document back to you.
Oh, right. So it's not posted.
Hours.
It's not like everybody can look at it or?
Not everybody, general public. However, any of the volunteer editors who are in there, who right now they have about 3,500 volunteer editors, can take a look at the document, make comments and changes, and then send it back.
I love this idea. It's a great idea.
It's really neat. The results that I've seen now, I have to confess, I've seen this so recently, I haven't had a chance to put my own writing up on there and see what they do to it, but the examples that I've seen from others are pretty neat. And I like the idea that you can volunteer to be an editor yourself, and then you can get in the mix as well. And, you know, I think it's, you have to look at it as a take it or leave it sort of commentary edit on, you know, your work. But again, if you're looking for that second set of eyes, what a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, doing a paper for, you know, a term paper or something like this. And, you know.
But for creative energy and flow and also for tidying up grammar and stuff or.
Yep. Yep.
Just suggestions.
And I think probably that's where, you'd see the most value and accuracy is tightening up that grammar, maybe people coming up with more active words for you, better words that
are,
you know, a little more in sync with what you're trying to get across.
Yeah.
So just neat stuff. I was really impressed with it. I thought it was very, very cool. Another thing that I thought was really cool too, I actually had use of this recently. We've mentioned a lot of kind of Wi-Fi stuff like StumbleUpon and things like this in the past, but I've seen very few that were as easy to use or as interesting and cool as tools.meraki.com. That's meraki.com/Stumbler. And what this is, it'll take you a Wi-Fi card in your laptop and it'll do a search on all of the current Wi-Fi signals that it can detect. It'll tell you what channel it's on, the radio type it's broadcasting, the SSID, and best yet, the manufacturer, the security, and the signal percentage. So what percentage of signal strength you're getting. So like right now here at WRLR, our internal signal strength is 96%, which is awesome. And we're broadcasting on channel 6. And I can see there's no other people in the area broadcasting channel 6. And so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I was using this recently because I felt that my Wi-Fi signal in my house is a little underpowered. I wasn't excited about it. And I just put, I just converted my WRDT Cisco based router. I actually rooted it and put Unix on it. Or Linux, I should say, and was configuring that for better strength as a repeater, and wanted to find out what the clearest channel in my area.
Aren't you ambitious these days?
You know, hey, unemployment has got some benefits. Let me tell you. Although
you're back in the mix.
Fortunately, yes, unemployment has ended. I'm no longer doing the consulting thing. I've hooked up my day thing now. I'll just say it right out. My day gig now is with NEC Corporation of America.
Very cool.
Unified Communications.
They couldn't have made a better choice.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. It's a bit of a step off of the beaten path of my career path in the recent.
But that's
past,
good. But, that's good. You get, you know, a little different perspective.
Absolutely. And I'm using the skills that I gained from those previous positions in a new way. And it's just a neat thing. You know, I was telling people, it's like, you look at it and you say, yeah, you know, it stunk that I was looking for work for a period of time. But gosh, how many people really get that opportunity to reinvent themselves every once in a while?
That's a good thing. Yeah.
You know, and it's so I'm pleased. I'm happy. NEC is a fantastic corporation and they're doing the great things.
And the broader the skill set, increases your chances of staying gainfully engaged.
There we go. Hopefully this is it. This is the fit. So far, so good. I'm thrilled about it. But so Meraki Tools Wi-Fi Stumbler, take a look at that. I'll leave you with one last one because I think we're going to have these people on air. I'm reaching out to them right now, trying to get through to see if we can make a connection. Mermailer. Just like a mermaid, but mermailer, to control the sea of email that's flooding your inbox.
Oh.
You go to mermailer.com. This is such a neat idea. Like I said, I had to reach out to him as soon as I heard about this. The deal is, you sign up for all these, you know, news feeds and
right. special offers.
Special offers yeah. and blah, blah, blah. And they just jam your inbox. And you can create all these filters to throw them into different folders and all this other garbage or whatever you want to do. But Mermailer hits it at the source. What they do is they give you a Mermailer email address for free. You sign up for these
special offers when you need an email address to register for something.
Yep. Yeah. And then better than that, what it does is you schedule those deliveries in digest form. So you can say once a week or once a month, I want to get these emails in a single packaged email that I can filter through and read at my leisure then. You don't have to get, 75 emails, every couple of days. It's one email once a week, one email once a month with those 75 emails packaged within it. And it's all through this email Mermailer thing. Totally free. Neat stuff. I think it's a cool idea. Dave, you're shaking your head. You're not so excited about it.
Well, I just think that would be a lot to get if you, instead of getting it one day, you'd get it, once a week or once a month. And in some ways it sounds very interesting and a good idea. In other ways, you would just forget about a lot of stuff and you would miss what you signed up for in the first place.
Well, I guess it depends on the kind of things that you're going to use it for. I think you're right. If you were signing up for, alert messages that you really needed to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's things like, discount coupons or something like that, you'd probably be better. Well, you know what? Like I said, hopefully I'll bring the guys in and you'll be here and we can.
Yeah.
We can.
Well, obviously you would not put the more important things in Mermail.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No,
yeah.
You would. It's not intended for that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm going to leave everybody with a podcast only song of the week. It's a short one, so it's perfect. It's called It's Too Late. What a
should be our theme song.
Yeah, it's Dirty South is
especially
the
for me
originator,
today.
But this is actually Dirty South versus Evermore. So it's a mashup. I think you're gonna like it though. I know I did for sure. Wow, what a great show. Great having people here at techtalk.wrlr.fm. And check out our home site, www.wrlr.fm as well. Loved having you here.
WRLR, Round Lake Heights, Illinois, wherever we are.
Of memories lying on the floor.